Blog Talk Radio.
It is I, Larry Jacobs, Friday, July 13th, the day after my birthday. Happy birthday, Larry. Okay, and I know my guests will join in a happy birthday as soon as I bring them on. Okay, and I will in a second. You will find that I, Larry Jacobs, host of Education Talk Radio, I am today the thorn amongst the roses. Okay, because we have some great guests coming with us from SIIA. Okay, and I'm looking forward to that. Karen Billings, my good pal over there, is going to be kind of running that little round table with me today. I'll bring them all on in just a second. By coincidence, I want to thank our good friends over at MMS Education for sponsoring today's show. I say by coincidence because their president, Susan Mell, is going to be on the show today as one of Karen's guests in our little roundtable about the Vision K-20 survey that SIIA Education Wing has just produced. So let me just say thank you, MMS Education. For those of you who don't know, they are a company that is 35 years of serving clients who want to make a positive impact in education, 35 years of helping clients navigate educational trends, policies, and challenges, working with ed tech companies and all sorts of companies that have transitioned into the educational space with new and online and digital products, etc. They sponsor a lot of things in the industry at SIIA, and I might add also, I believe, at EdNet as well, which is coming up in September. If you want to bring your new product to market or keep selling the current ones, you need to learn more about what MMS Education does, and you can at www.mmseducation.com. I also want to say thank you to Kelly Stewart, their director of marketing, for that beautiful email she sent me celebrating my birthday. I could hear her magnificent operatic voice singing happy birthday to me. I understand she'll be performing at various educational functions soon. So thank you, Karen. Okay, now let me bring on, I'm going to try her, I think, well, I'm going to bring everybody on and I'll say hello, Karen. So just wait 1 second. I got to do a couple of click-throughs here. Here we go. Now, Karen, are you there?
I'm here, Larry. Thank you.
How are you? And don't you want to say happy birthday to me?
Oh, of course, Larry. Happy birthday. Sure. I won't sing.
That's all right. I love the song. Karen, I'm going to introduce everybody. Karen Billings is the Vice President of the Education Division at SIIA, one of my favorite groups out there, the Software and Information Industry Association's Education Division, the trade organization with software companies as members. These companies develop and market educational technology products and services. They're active in the educational division, which has webinars, conferences, publications, reports for their members. And please, although they'll be on many times before this, I hope, they have the Big Ed Tech Business Forum in November in New York City, and of course in San Francisco next May. But New York City is next, and we'll be talking about that as we go. SIIA.net, you can click through to education. Now with her, okay, is yet another beauteous one from SIIA. Lindsay, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm good. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting for that. That took too long. Hopefully the next two will be able to do it a little quicker. Okay, Lindsay is the education market and policy analyst at SIIA. She joined the staff only about 3 months ago. She's been hard at work ever since working on the K-20 survey, which we're going to be talking about, the market surveys and digging into some education policy work. You work in the D.C. office as well. And we also have two guests. Hello, Susan Collins. Sue Collins.
Good morning. Happy birthday yesterday.
How did you ever remember?
You know, I'm just like that.
Thank you, Sue. Sue, I can't find the sheet that would have introduced you. Why don't you tell everybody what you do over there?
Sure. I am actually a former educator. I've been in the classroom, the district, and the state level, worked at numerous ed tech companies along the way, and have a consulting company now. I work with technology and education companies on business strategy, product and marketing strategies, executive strategies, you name it. So,
yeah, and how would people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is email sue@collinsconsults.com.
And where are you located? What state?
I'm actually in Oregon.
How beautiful. You should actually move to Colorado, where they named a Ford after you.
I know that.
I don't know why you don't go there.
Next time.
I love Oregon, and thanks for getting up so early. And finally, last but certainly not least, my pal Susan Mel. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Larry, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, how did you ever remember it was my birthday yesterday? I try to keep that so secret.
I know, Larry, but I'm a quick study.
Oh, you're good, Sue. You're good. Susan Mel, this is the CEO of MMS Education. Thanks for sponsoring today. That was actually planned before you were coming on, so it's great that it worked out that way. MMS Education is a client services company that helps companies reach, engage, and measure impact in the education market. They're great. They're in Newville, Pennsylvania, one of my favorite haunts. My wife grew up right around there. The core services MMS Education provides include research and marketing and inside sales and sales support and information management. For the past 2 years, MMS has helped SIIA with the data analysis and final report for the Vision K-20, and MMS fully supports all that SIIA does. They do for educators and the companies that serve them. And by the way, your director of marketing, Kelly Stewart, she has a lovely voice. I could hear a trill in her happy birthday card emailed to me yesterday.
Thanks, Larry.
She may be leaving you for full operatic training. I'm not sure. Okay. So watch that. Okay.
I got it. Okay.
Thanks, Susan. Okay, let's go to Karen. We're talking about the Vision, SIIA Vision K-20 Survey Report. Okay? So, Karen, why don't you just define that for everybody?
Well, it is an initiative that we set up about 5 years ago. We have about 200 education companies who are our members. And they, at that point, said, look, we really need to have a statement that, as an industry, we can really talk about how we believe technology can support education, their educational goals, and particularly then the way that they're going to be using technology. So we set up a vision, and we set out we looked at seven goals that we believe all K-12 and post-secondary schools think is important. And then we set aside some what we call measures of progress, which had to do with technology. Here's where technology fits in, and if they're using technology in this way, that would work. So we then set up a website, and, of course, the first thing that schools wanted to know was, well, so how are we doing? How do we know where we are in this vision? And with the number of members who know how to conduct surveys and knew a lot about schools, including people like Sue Collins, we set to develop this survey because we really wanted to help schools understand whether or not their teaching and learning environment was going to help their students be prepared globally and also to compete out there, because we have been leading the world in innovation and we want to continue to do so.
That is actually excellent. And I want to say something else because I've been brushing over the term. This is Vision K-20, okay? And that 20 part is really important because for many years, okay, we always talk K-12, but this is K-20. And if I may, it's probably pre-K-20, isn't it? Isn't it that?
Well,
How do I say that right?
Well, it probably is. We're now starting to use the term PK-20. And 5-6 years ago when we started thinking about this, technology wasn't as prevalent in the primary grades. It's becoming more so. So one of these years, we need to take a close look at our vision and do a pretty thorough update about where we are with technology. There are education goals that are changing a bit. So this is a constant sort of in-motion vision.
It's true, because these days, as babies are born, instead of wrapping them in a blanket, they give them an iPad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
they're great.
It's really just incredible how that technology is creeping into those lower grades. And those are the two great bookends of K-12 is pre-K-20. I just wanted to make that clear because I know you guys are so involved in all this. So let's talk about the survey, the SIIA Vision K-20 Survey Report. Okay, Sue Collins, okay, help me out here. What is it, who takes it, and why would they take it?
Well, so it was great for us to put out a vision, but we wanted to make it actionable by educators, educators, as you just said, at the K through 20 level. And so we put together a self-assessment tool that can be used at any level. So a classroom teacher or a faculty member can do it, a building or district person can do it, a department or campus administrator can actually use this self-assessment
yep.
test to measure sort of their progress. It consists of 20 benchmark questions that are all tied back to those goals and measures of progress that Karen just talked about, and it helps them understand where they are and helps them see themselves in context with everyone else. So this year we had a great response. We had over 1,600 survey takers. Kind of balanced out two-thirds K-12 educators and a third post-secondary folks. This is a great increase over last year. About 350% more people responded to the survey this year. So we feel like we have great balance in what we got. The other thing is that across each of those segments, K-12 and post-secondary, we were able to have a good distribution. So we had elementary and secondary school responses as well as district responses in the K-12 area, and we had enough 2- and 4-year colleges to be able to actually report on the data based on that. So we're really, really pleased
Right,
with
and,
the
and I have to say,
year.
Although we are running this show on our pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, I'm going to archive it over at Higher Education Talk Radio, too, because I think it's very important for those folks to understand, okay, exactly what's going on out there. Sue Collins, was the big difference between this year and last year the increase in folks who did the survey, or were there any other things that were different from this year?
You know, there are some really great ads this year that make a difference. One is, just let me just say that I think that people took this survey, one, to benchmark themselves. Even though we think of this as a very communicative marketplace, people in school districts and people in universities in some ways are very isolated. And this allows them to both benchmark themselves internally, but also how to see themselves against how other people are doing. And they, you know educators. I mean, they love to contribute to kind of the national view. And I think a big part of what happens is people want to see themselves in that national view, and I think this survey does that for them. So on to the new changes. We have a couple of really, really nice ads. So in the past, it really has been just a benchmarking of where people are. This year, for the first time, we asked three overlying questions. One is, how well is technology currently integrated in your educational institution? What do you feel is the ideal level of integration, and how important it is it? And so with those three questions, we're able to say, is this increasing in importance? Is it changing its role in districts? The other thing we added, with thanks to Susan, is that we took each of those benchmark questions that we talked about before, and we not only asked the respondents to say what their current level is, but they also say what their ideal level is. So we are in the process of being able to create some kind of collaborative vision about the use of technology.
We're talking, I want to remind our audience and those who just tuned in, about the SIIA, the Software and Information Industry Association's Education Division Vision K-20 Survey Report, which is oh so important each year. We have a whole panel talking about it today. A lot of people were involved. Our central guest is Karen Billings, who is the Vice President of the Education Division and the queen, I will say, the queen of educational technology. Do you think that's too low a title, Karen?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. To me, you are the queen. We bow to you, Karen. We love you dearly and all that SIIA has done. Susan Mill, are you there?
Yes, Larry. I'm here.
Okay. SIIA has been doing this survey every year for 4 or more years now, and you and MMS have been heavily involved the past 2 years. So talk to me about this year's results. Okay, what were they like, and what are you learning from the most recent survey? And it's important. I want to hear this from you, Susan Mill, because you own one of those companies that brings products and services, et cetera, into education. Okay? So it's important that you understand these trends. So tell me what's happening out there.
Thanks, Larry. And
you're welcome.
As Sue already mentioned, that this
yep.
year we added several new features to the survey, and one was those first overarching questions about their current level of technology implementation and comparing that to both their ideal and then how important was it. And what we found was that about 24% of all the participants reported that their institutions are already integrating technology at a high level. So
right.
about a quarter
right.
across the board are saying they're at a high level. About 65% are sort of in that medium range.
Mm-hmm.
But then
That's
more
good.
Importantly, 75% of K-12 and post-secondary said that they rated the importance of technology integration and the ideal level at very high. So for you know, three-quarters of all the participants, the importance of technology and their ideal view of where they want to go is at the highest level. So we see that the technology continues implementation continues to be very, very important. When we looked at the individual benchmarks,
yep.
Not surprisingly, all of the current implementation levels lag behind the ideal level. So that says, okay,
yeah.
everybody has room to improve, and they want to improve. Consistent with previous years, one of the things we found is that, and this has been consistent across the board, and I think from when SIA first started the survey, going back several years, is that post-secondary has always rated itself higher in terms of their current level of technology than K-12. And I think that makes sense given the age of the students, the
right.
propensity to use technology. So that
right.
wasn't an unusual finding. It's just that it's been consistent. And when one of the other things we did this year with the survey design was we gathered a little more demographic information. So we've been able
cool.
to
go over that if you can a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been able to slice and dice the data and look at it in a more granular fashion. We looked at it by female versus male, age of the participant, number of years they were involved in education, location, size of district or size of college. And interestingly enough, as we looked at all of these different variables, the one real differentiator is really just the difference between post-secondary and K-12. There,
really?
There are some other, there's some other smaller variables, but the one consistent across the board, greatest variation in information is always that separation between post-secondary and K-12.
I want to throw this question out there, and I don't know which one of you is the best to answer it. Okay, so I'll let Karen decide that. Karen, we always hear, and I always like to defend the South, even though I'm a Northerner. I live in Maine now. Okay, but I always like to defend the South because I've dealt with the school districts all through our southern states. I find they're really dedicated, terrific folks down there in the field of education. Everybody always thinks, and unfortunately sometimes proven, that the southern states come, a lot of southern states come in last, okay, and all these things. But I was just curious, was there any kind of divergence between, like, north, south, and west, so to speak, among them? And I'm trying to defend the southern states here. Was there any?
Well, the only state comparisons that we really did, and it wasn't a comparison, we looked to see if we got at good representation from particularly
yep.
the most populated states. Now,
okay.
unfortunately, we can look at those and say we know that, you know, the highest proportion of our participants came from proportionally the states that have the highest population. So it's California, New York, Texas, Florida, Michigan,
Ohio,
et cetera.
Right.
So
right.
your southern states, unfortunately, had, I think, enough representation given their population. But there's really no way until we build the number of respondents everywhere that we
mm-hmm.
can do any comparison. So maybe next year, with the help of Education Talk Radio and Higher Education Talk Radio, we'll increase the responses again.
Never heard of them.
And
yep.
then we can start looking at state comparisons, because I know
cool.
that our state leaders want that information too.
Yeah, and it is important, because I talk to so many of the teachers, administrators, et cetera, in the southern United States, and they're such hardworking folks. They're always getting a bum rap because of statistics and dollars. And I just wanted to ask that question to see if we could pull them off the bum rap, et cetera. You know, thought leadership, okay? Sue and Susan, Sue Collins of Collins Connects, okay, and Susan Mell of MMS Education. SIIA has a major thought leadership role, and they do, within the ed tech community, again, thanks to Karen and her staff's great work. You folks know the market pretty well. Given this survey, what are the major challenges that schools are facing as they try to get higher and closer to their technology ideal? And Sue Collins, you go first.
Okay, thanks. So it's Collins
You're
Consults,
welcome.
Just so you have that right.
What did
on
I say?
The day
did I say Collins?
Birthday?
You know, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. I said, forgive me, Larry, but I said Collins Connects,
that.
And I didn't mean to do that. I apologize.
I don't know
why I said that. I'm sorry.
I might have to retract my belated have to birthday or something. You know.
Let's wait. I have to be ultra good. Collins Consults. What's the website? Is there a website?
That's it.
What's
you
the
got
website?
It.
Collinsconsults.com.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, there you go. So I'm making
right.
up for this.
No,
I apologize.
It's no problem. Anyway, I just we learned a lot from the comments that were a new addition to the survey this year. And, you know, you're not going to be very surprised, and I think the listeners aren't going to be very surprised by the kinds of things that the respondents brought to our attention. So things like funding. I mean, it clearly has been a difficult 2 or 3 years here in terms of funding. And so, as Susan says, just holding strong is really a gain. Having the right leadership. Having the time for educators to really be thoughtful about how they're going to implement technology to help students learn and to help teachers teach. And then anybody in the technology world thinks about, you know, obsolescence is a huge problem. Just trying to stay current, trying to have the best infrastructure possible, the best tools for students and teachers is always a challenge. So I don't think that those are any big surprises, but I think those of us on this team were really impressed by the thoughtfulness of the comments that we got back from the respondents about those issues.
Let's go. Susan Mill, anything to add?
Yeah, and just one of the as we, you know, when the report comes out and people see the results and everything, when we looked at the benchmark statements and the overall comparison, the scores this year, the average scores, were very consistent with previous years. So there hasn't been, if you look at it one way, you could say there hasn't been a lot of movement in getting closer to that ideal level. But on the other hand, when we look at it, we say, but you know what, with as difficult as the economy has been for the last 3 years, with the budget challenges and the budget cuts that have been made, what it's saying is that the schools have really been able to maintain their level of technology, and they've been keeping up, you know. And the other piece is that technology, as we all know, continues to advance at a rapid pace. And so trying to keep up with the advancement of technology gets to be challenging. So while the overall average scores didn't increase dramatically, they held up, which I said, you know, says the schools are maintaining. They're not making big advancements, but they're also keeping up.
Did you get differentiated information? I don't know if you did, from big city to suburban to rural. Was there any question about that? My question really is, are the urban schools doing okay? Because they're the ones always seem to be facing the big budget problems.
Right, and
Anybody?
That was when we analyzed the data and looked at it, and did look at, you know, small districts versus large versus urban, and that's where we could not find significant statistically valid variances between those variables. There wasn't enough to say, oh, eureka, here's a big, you know, change. When we look at the current scores, also when we look at the current scores versus their ideal scores of where they'd like to be, it's very clear that the educators, they have a vision of where they'd like to be. They want to get there. They think it's important. They see the goal. And it's, as Sue mentioned, the challenges to get there are some of the things we all know about. And we also got a lot of positive feedback, and thanks to SIIA, a recognition that this survey is very important for them. It really helped. Many of them said, this really helps me give the benchmark of where we need to go as a district.
It's really interesting. What would Susan? What would you tell your based on this? What would you tell your clients who are involved in ed technology? Susan Mill.
Yeah, I think the
what's the best advice? Just a one little gem of advice coming from the mountaintop.
From and maybe I don't know, Karen. Maybe you would like to answer that too in terms of the. The message for all of the members.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just curious.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
In SIIA, but I just
want
to see.
What's that gem of wisdom that comes out of it, Karen or Susan or Sue Collins?
Well,
anybody?
I'll just, you know, I think that right now the members just appreciate sort of seeing the information that we get from year to year, and you know, the key message we're getting is that we need to make sure that the questions we're asking or the even the information, our goals probably need to keep up with what some of the schools are doing and the companies are doing, because the technology continues to drive a lot of things that are going on, and the schools have really, you know, they're making some great progress. You know, in years past, every survey, I think we see the same thing from a lot of the responders, and that is they feel, they go into the survey thinking that, well, probably everybody else is ahead of them anyway. And secondly, that for as much as they've made progress each year, the technology keeps bringing that endpoint further out, so they still feel like they're not where they should be. And, you know, it's really hard to sort of get a survey, set of survey, and Susan and MMS have done a great job, along with Sue's help, to try and get at what those changes are to give them credit for it.
Yep. That's excellent. Thank you. That was great. Lindsay, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Lindsay. How you doing?
I'm good.
That's Lindsay Harmon. She's the Education Market and Policy Analyst at SIIA. She joined the staff about 3 months ago, so which means you haven't been there very long. So I want to start you off. Your boss is on the other line. I want to start you off with a question. Could you please name everybody who's ever been at the SIIA conference in November and tell me what they do? Go ahead.
No.
Okay.
Just no.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Lindsay. I'm just kidding you. Okay. You helped put together this survey, right?
The survey was put together before I got there.
Okay.
So I kind of came in the middle of it and tried to increase response rates and really just worked on getting the word out.
Okay, how'd you do that?
Through our wonderful partners,
I think everybody
like
wants
Education
to know that
Talk
secret.
Radio.
Thank you.
Mostly it was reaching out to various members, social media sites, publications, professional associations, and being like, please, please, please help us. We tried to reach out to as many different groups of educators to get the higher ed, to get all the different types of PK-12, just to get the biggest, widest, broadest sample we possibly could. So Karen and I worked really hard on that. As soon as I came in, that was sort of my big focus was Karen and I just every day pounding away,
cool,
getting more response.
Linz, what's your background? Since we've got you on for the first time here, what's your background?
I came from Rosetta Stone.
Okay.
I was a market researcher.
So you came from Egypt?
No.
Oh. That was the joke, see, because the original, it might be let me explain to my little panel here. It might be a bad joke, but I am the host. A small snicker from each of you would help.
I laughed.
Okay, thank you. Lindsay, go ahead. Rosetta Stone's cool company, languages.
Yeah, so I was in the market research department there for 3 years.
Oh, cool.
For that, I got a degree in economics from Marymount University.
Wow.
And now I am at SIIA.
I can barely spell economics, let alone get a degree in it. That is really, really cool. Did all the companies that are members of SIIA, how many are there? I don't know. Karen or Lindsay, how many members are there in education?
We have about just over 200. My last count yesterday was 202.
Wow. That's great.
Right. Yep.
And all good people, I might add. I see them a lot at all the meetings, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Did they get a lot, very involved in it, all the companies, Lindsay? Let's give them some credit here.
We tried. This is Karen. We tried to get them involved.
Oh, okay.
And we did have a number of companies who I know sent emails or helped us get the word out. So we appreciate that a great deal. I don't know, Lindsay, if you've got the list there in front of you, but Adobe typically gets it out to their academic councils.
Nice.
So we get some really good people there.
Nice. Lindsay, do you want to mention any others who played an important role, or is that not good? Lindsay, is she there, Kara?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
I think it might have gotten cut off. Lindsay, you just call back. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. One call was dropped. Tell Lindsay to call back in. I'm asking her a question. Her call accidentally dropped from her end.
All right.
Okay?
I will do that. Okay.
We love her, and we're not ignoring her.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
She just said
I just realized
that.
I just got a signal.
Yeah, she
okay.
just got, she sort of got cut off. She said all she's hearing is beeping noises, so... I'm just saying, please call back in.
Okay, so just
right.
call back in. Lindsay, I'm sorry about that. It happens that everybody else is still on, okay? And
mm-hmm.
I just like the companies to get the credit because, and I've said this a million times, when we have the big conferences where teachers and administrators go, et cetera, those companies that are in the exhibit hall, I know it's fun to go to a different city, but those companies in the exhibit hall, the same companies in many cases are members of SIIA, and they are the heart and soul of the industry. They work so hard to put the right products out there and get the communications. But I just want to give them credit, okay? And I still don't have Lindsay on here, but I just do want to say that when she calls back. Lindsay, are you there? I don't think you are.
She's yep. coming on. She knocked on my door, and she's going to be calling back in.
Oh, I feel bad about that. Well, let's talk about this. How do people get – who do you want to get the results, Karen Billings? Okay, and how do people find the results? And also talk about next week in Boston, please.
Okay, well, let's do next week in Boston because we're getting
okay.
ready to produce the final report, and it will be available Wednesday morning online at our website, just siia.net/visionk20. We're going to be
mm-hmm.
issuing a press release. We're going to be announcing the results at the Campus Technology Conference, which I believe you said you may be attending.
I will be there and at your breakfast on Wednesday.
That's right. That's right. And I'll make sure that you get registered. We so we'll be highlighting it there. And then we will be probably doing a few webinars for some of our key companies and or key partners, EdWeb and COSIN, others, which have done a very good job of getting the word out for us, sometimes like to then have their members hear about the results.
Absolutely.
And particularly if we can do, you know, more comparisons for them. Mm-hmm. I think Lindsay's
Lisa
back.
I am.
She is back, but Lisa Schmucky, my good friend, the president at EdWeb, which is, I'm looking it up right now, but it's edweb.net, right? That great social community for teachers?
Correct.
It is .net, mm-hmm. right? I just want to, EdWeb.
Yes, it is
okay,
.net.
I just want to be sure she gets credit, and COSIN. The Consortium on School Networking, COSIN.org, since you mentioned them, I do like to make sure that people understand these places are accessible. Hi, Lindsay. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. It just started beeping at me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. All of a sudden, I looked over, and your call had dropped. I don't know. Did you put a dime into the slot, as I asked you to? Do you remember that?
I think it's a quarter now.
It's a quarter now. That's the problem. I didn't even know that. Okay. Let me go back here, okay, and just talk for a second. The companies in SIIA, how involved were they? Because they're the ones who are they have that spider web to everybody in the industry, so to speak, all their clients. I just want you to talk about that for a second. I think it's important so everybody knows.
They were very involved, mostly because they were the easiest ones to get to harass. They were the first people I could reach out to. So I jump on all the conference calls and just kind of harass, I guess. But no, they were really supportive and generally all about trying to help SIIA and get the report. And I mean, ultimately, the goal was to make the report better, and I think everyone was incredibly supportive of that.
And Lindsay, one other important question. Well, two questions. Are you going to be in Boston next week?
I am. I will see you at breakfast.
And until then, I want to. Karen said is true. I do look just like Brad Pitt. Is that right, Susan?
Absolutely, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a dead ringer, literally. People are always asking me, how's Angelina? It's really quite embarrassing. But I will be there, and I will be at your breakfast. And Karen, I want to make sure that you send me an email where the breakfast is.
You'll get a confirmation when I register you this afternoon. Good.
Okay, great. Great, because I'm heading down there on Monday. That's the Campus Technology Show, which is really, really cool. Okay, so Lynn, now you go over it again. Where can people find out more and get all the information about Vision K20 from SIIA? You say it, Lindsay.
Okay, well, the report will be posted on Wednesday after our breakfast and briefing. So after that, anyone in the industry can get it at siia.net/visionk20. And
cool.
The report will be available in full for free there.
And it's important for everybody in education, and it's even important for parents who, by the way, are very involved in education, I might add. Okay, it's great stuff, and they work hard for it. Ladies, thank you all. Susan Collins, thank you, at Collins Consults.
That's right. Thank you so much. It was great.
Oh, you're always welcome, for goodness sake. Susan Mell at MMS Education, thank you so much in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Larry.
And give my regards to Stephanie and Pierce and everybody over there, okay?
Will do.
Okay, and of course, Singing Kelly.
Well, I think she's on her way to the Met Opera now. I think she's
her desk may be empty by now, and she may have fled, but I want you to know what a good person she is. And Karen, how's Lindsay working out over there?
Just great. I think that the increase in numbers is largely due to her skill at harassing people.
Well, she's probably the best. Lindsay Harmon, I hear tell, is the very best ever in the world education market and policy analyst ever at SIIA. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
And I'll meet you soon. And Karen, I will see you probably Tuesday, okay? But I'll definitely be there Wednesday morning for the breakfast. Thank you for making this available to us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye. You
too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a nice panel. Thank you, Karen, for putting that together. Karen, Vice President of Education Division, SIIA. That was great. You heard it here first. Okay, you can read the report at www.siia.com. SIIA.net/VisionK20. This is a very powerful and important organization, SIIA Education. This information is invaluable to everybody. It gives teachers, as they were saying, benchmarks. It gives companies ideas on where to go, etc. If any companies listening out there, they're not a member of SIIA and they're involved in educational technology, they need to be a member of SIIA, and all of us need to understand the Vision K20 survey. Next spring, like March and April, Education Talk Radio, Higher Education Talk Radio, that's me, will be reminding you to take this very worthwhile survey. You can believe that, and you can count on us to relay the results next year to you. Okay, we love having them on, and thank you. And again, hello to my pal Lisa Schmucke over at edweb.net, and they mentioned COSIN, so that's COSIN.org. It's SIIA.net if you want more information. And thanks to MMS Education for sponsoring today's show. 35 years in the industry helping clients navigate educational trends, policies, and challenges, working with ed tech companies and other organizations that have transitioned into the educational space with new online or digital products. They are always sponsoring terrific events in the industry. If you want to bring your new product to market or keep selling the current ones in an ever-changing industry, please go over and learn more about MMS Education at www.mmseducation.com. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Education Talk Radio. We're going to have this show archived at highereducationtalkradio.org and also at our pre-K-12 site, which is, as you know, is education-talkradio.org. Hey, thanks for listening. It's Friday the 13th, but it's a lucky Friday the 13th. Have a great weekend.